Consequence Podcast Network.
Borahe, Iconic Army.
Borahe.
Happy New Year.
Happy Welcome. BTS year.
Yes, this is BTS's year. Welcome to 2025. All of the members are going to be discharged by June of this year. That is like the most exciting news. We have been waiting forever. But they're all going to be together this year. The full reunion. We're going to have them for their 12-year anniversary all
Amazing.
Together. I hope to get a festa. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see what it looks like.
But also, this is the year of the most beautiful moment in life's 10th anniversary.
Incredible.
Yes.
What a monumental year.
It is a monumental year. It's been 10 years since the release of HYYH, Part 1, the very first album. So there have been lots of speculation around the group's activities for this year. And one of the biggest, more concrete speculations, I would say, is a project surrounding the 10th anniversary of The Most Beautiful Moment in Life. So whether that be a re-release of the album, a tour with the songs, or some other form of celebration, we know that there is going to be some kind of project around the 10-year anniversary yeah. of HYYH. So we felt that there was no better way to start the year of 2025 and our 250th episode.
Woo, like, 250!
I know, the 25-25, I can't get past it.
Amazing.
What better way to celebrate than to review the HYYH album so we can prepare and be refreshed on this super iconic, monumental, and groundbreaking album series for this group.
Yes. I would love to see them re-record their HYYH Part 1 and 2, not just re-release the albums, but re-record it mm-hmm. and release that like a 10-year special edition. That to me would be like the creme de la creme. That yeah. would be incredible.
It'd be so special.
Yeah.
I want a tour.
Fuck yeah. I mean,
if they toured with these songs.
These songs that like we never, of course we saw some of these songs like in medleys, in concerts, but like we never thought we would see like these full songs. If they toured with these songs now, yeah. that would just be the best thing ever.
It would. It would.
Please. Hi, are you listening?
Hi.
Have you already planned this?
Perhaps. There's a chance.
We'll see.
Yeah. Speaking of concerts, I just have to say, when we went in to record this episode, I was like, hey, Kayla, should we title it The Most Beautiful Moment in Life Part 1 album review for those who don't know that it's HYYH? And you're like, absolutely not. Like, no. I'm like, you're right. If you don't know the shortened HYYH, like, concert tickets, no. Like,
yeah.
I'm not sorry. Deserved at this point.
It is the year of BTS, and respectfully, we're gatekeeping them now because we need to go to these concerts. Yeah. And if you don't know this history, then I'm sorry, but you can't go.
Yeah. You don't know that like HYYH is the most beautiful moment in life, like
don't even log into Ticketmaster.
Right.
Like, yeah.
You got to get up to speed.
Yeah.
First.
I mean, you can educate yourself. There's still time. So, yeah. you know,
you're here.
Maybe that's why you're listening to this
exactly.
album review.
If you're here, different story.
Right. But, you know, it's going to be crazy if and when they announce a tour and we're ready to go at the, you know, the drop of a pin. Yeah. So, yeah, definitely.
But here we are.
Yeah.
Album review for The Most Beautiful Moment in Life Part 1.
Yeah.
We've Can't been saving wait. It.
Perfect timing.
Yes.
Yes. So, we're so excited to get into it with y'all today.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, it's Kyle Meredith, host of the Kyle Meredith With podcast, presented by WFPK at WFPK.org and the Consequence Podcast Network. It's a series that puts the spotlight on iconic musicians and actors, inviting them to drop by and talk about their latest projects, whether it's albums, TV shows, films, or beyond.
I'm going to say something I don't want to say. Here it goes. Without Spinal Tap, there is no Tenacious D.
Whoa. Man.
We get great stories and the biggest scoops from people like Garbage's Shirley Manson, the 1975's Matty Healy, Jack Black and Kyle Gass of Tenacious D, Maya Hawke, Kiefer Sutherland, and everyone in between. New episodes arrive every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones. You can find Kyle Meredith With on the Consequence Podcast Network or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. We're your hosts. I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and this is Standing BTS,
your favorite informative fangirl podcast.
All right. Today, we're going to hang out for about an hour, and we're going to be talking about The Most Beautiful Moment in Life, Part 1, our album review. We're going to go through all of the songs on the album. We'll talk about the writing and production for each song and get into the lyrical kind of summary and meaning of each song and just our opinions on this album.
Yeah. Before we get into it, we want to say thanks, Iconic, so much for being here and for listening, and thanks for your extra support on Patreon, where you can access our episode documents, our monthly virtual Iconic hangouts, and our sound checks. And if you don't know about that, please consider joining us on Patreon at patreon.com/standingbts.
Yes, thank you all for being here, for all of your support, and of course for listening. All right, let's get into this album review.
Let's do it.
Yeah, we just need some background information on why this is so significant, this album, why we're talking about it here in 2025. So Bang PD was on Bloomberg Screen Time a couple years back, and he reported there was a lot of pain, but also bonding with like the new contract negotiations with HYBE and BTS. Mm-hmm. And he brought up how HYYH was an important album series as it showed a lot of their growth as artists. It reflected their lives and who they were. And so it was a springboard that launched them into a global stardom. Mm-hmm. He further goes on to say that when they were young, they talked about creating and honoring the album's 10-year anniversary. Like, that's how significant this album release was to them, that like they were already talking about the 10-year anniversary and doing something special way back in like 2015, 2016,
right,
that time frame.
Right.
So that's just huge. And it was such a strong promise that he said BTS would be putting out a 10-year anniversary for HYYH, even if they were not still with the company. Like, even if they left HYBE, Bang PD is like, they would still do something for the 10-year anniversary of HYYH. That's how strong of a promise it is. So it was very important for Bang PD to fulfill their promise to release an HYYH anniversary. So we can say with a significant amount of confidence here that there is going to be some kind of project put out this year in regards to the 10-year anniversary.
And just time will tell on what that project is going to be and how that's really going to come to fruition, but there's definitely going to be something.
Right.
And I love that the album itself was so impactful to the members even back then, that they had to, when they were negotiating their new contracts, they were like, this must be part of it.
Yeah.
And that it was so impactful that back then in 2015, the members knew, we're going to bring this back in 10 years. That's how much this album and these albums that all came out in 2015 mean to us.
Right.
I love that Namjoon, when he was on Suchrita, he mentioned that 2025 is such an important year because of the 10-year anniversary of HYYH, and that it's so meaningful for them to fulfill this promise and to have some project honoring its anniversary. Mm-hmm. So not only did Bang PD not forget about it, but it's not lost on the members either. Like, it's something that we've talked about so much, that BTS plans, and you know, they plan years in advance of what they want to do. Like, when COVID hit, it messed up their plans for like 2 years of what they had been planning. You know, they have been planning this for 10 years to do this, and I just think that is so powerful. And I know whatever they have planned, you know, the members have thought about it. Obviously, for 10 years, it's going to be incredible.
Yeah, and they know what ARMY wants. BTS absolutely knows what to deliver. And so, yeah, really looking forward to it. Huge that Namjoon is talking about it on Suchrita, which was like just this past like couple years that this has come out.
Yeah.
So a lot of recent stuff. Lastly, before we get into the album, just to set the stage, this album is so significant because it really did launch them into stardom. This was their make or break moment, and this is what made them.
Yeah.
The HYYH series. And so I found this review of the album on WordPress from Pondaweiwei on WordPress. And I just love this quote from them. They say, quote, "The most beautiful moment in life, part one, was both the clearest distillation of BTS's sound and their most varied offering." I feel like that's exactly it.
Yeah.
Like, this album, when you go and listen to it, or this whole series, you know BTS's sound. This is their sound defined. And the organization of the songs, the lyrical meanings, the depth, the pure, their lives put on pure display for all of us to know. Like,
the
this
authenticity.
Is it. Yeah, the authenticity is there. The concepts, the topics that they talk about, it's all BTS.
To the core.
To the core.
And I mean, I've been, even before we were thinking like, oh, this is the year of HYOH, this is the year of BTS for 2025. Mm-hmm. Like when Jeremy and I were road tripping down to Florida for Christmas, I shared these albums with him because I said, I could play any BTS with you and it would be amazing. But this is to the core what BTS is. So when you sent me this article and was like, this quote is what stuck out to me, I was like, I was literally thinking the same thing days ago. You know, this is distilled like exactly who they are to the core and such a beautiful representation of like BTS.
Absolutely.
And if you're showing BTS to somebody, like you should show them HYOH.
Yeah.
They need to know.
Yeah. So, this is their sound.
This is their sound.
Yeah. So and this is what sets them apart from other groups.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. So we're really excited to just dive into this track list and talk about it all.
Right.
So let's go ahead and get started with intro, The Most Beautiful Moment in Life. And this was, we're going to see a lot of familiar names because like the producers that we know so well, this is like, you know, who they were working with all back then.
The OGs. In the garage.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So this song was written and produced by both Slow Rabbit and Suga. So, you know, love it. And you can really see that production come through. Mm-hmm. There is a lot of emotional build throughout the song as Yoongi's rap gets faster and more desperate. And his voice has this growling raspiness that evokes so much of that desperation and need. And it really contributes to like, man, that gut punch of emotion that you feel right at the beginning of this album. It really sets the tone for the album, letting us know that it's going to be emotional, bare, vulnerable, also fucking iconic, and just epic.
Yeah.
And the song just really makes both of us feel like, oh my gosh, we're really taking off. We're getting started.
Yeah.
For me, I'm like, I feel like I'm reflecting, I'm feeling the desperation he's delivering, and I'm wanting to like, it's wanting me to like drive for more.
Yeah. It's so raw. His rap delivery is so raw. It's like, he is just putting himself on full display there, like nothing to hide. This is what I'm feeling. Yes. That desperation, that need. It begins with like this really dreamy keyboard, all of these chords and these strong orchestral strings that are playing, which
beautiful.
Are so Min Yoongi.
Yeah.
So bringing that classical element into it, and of course a slow bass beat underneath. But what really intensifies and brings that raw emotion from this song is Yoongi gasping. His breaths that he gasps throughout the song are so intentional in how he adds to the production and the instrumental of this song. It's like you can tell that he's, the way that he's rapping is like he's running and rapping. He's gasping for air
without letting up, you know.
Yeah. It just shows how hard he's working and how much he's pushing through.
Yeah, the ambition, you know, he's really putting that into everything that he's doing. Let's go ahead and dive into the lyrics a little bit. And because we know that this album, these albums have been around for 10 years, I'm sure you Iconics, you know them well, you've listened to them before. So we're not going to go through line by line with the lyrics. We feel like you know it better than that, but we are going to summarize them a bit and just give our thoughts on the lyrics. So
yeah, the meaning of the lyrics,
and the overall meaning of those lyrics instead of like a line by line breakdown, because you've had time to be able to do that. So when we're talking about this album, and we already touched on it a little bit, but you have to put yourself in the mindset of where BTS were when working on this album. They really hadn't had much commercial success yet, and this album, like Bethany said, seemed to be the end-all be-all. Like, if they were not successful with this album, disbandment was likely because they were purely just going to run out of money with Big Hit.
Broke.
That's just the truth of it. You know, they had a little bit of success, you know, like with Dark and Wild, but like it wasn't really a breakthrough. So this album was really the catalyst for their success today. And I think that's why for the members specifically, it is that album that they look back on so fondly and why they want to celebrate it with like the 10-year anniversary. Because it really made them, and like we said, it's really the core of their sound, what we feel like is really them. So
so
very important to have that in mind.
It is, with this being the intro song and Yoongi being the one who's delivering this message, he really reflects on his whole youth and how it's all around his dream of being a rapper and a musician. He talks about music is his everything, and it's even to the sacrifice of his education in school. Like, his grades are failing because he's pouring everything that he has into producing music and making this group be successful. In the very first verse, it's all about his fears too of not being able to reach success and grasping to hope that everything will be all right. And those fears are so real. Like, he is not taking an ordinary route in life here.
Right.
He is going to pursue his true dream of being a K-pop artist, a musician, a producer. Just taking any kind of career in music is risky.
Think about how few people actually make it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure that all of those people who are spreading and projecting those doubts onto him get to him to a bit. And I love that in the song, he's being so raw in how, yeah, like, I have fears about reaching success. Like, what if this doesn't work out?
Right.
And I feel this is true for anyone who is creating their own business or is taking a riskier route in life. You know, there's this pit inside of themselves that they carry in regards to uncertainty of their aspirations working out. And it never leaves. Like, here Yoongi is expressing that he's sacrificed so much that it's terrifying to think about what if it doesn't work out and questioning if all of his sacrifices are actually worth it.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I feel like we hear the gasping and we hear like that rapid rap of just like the desperation. He can't let up. He can't let his foot off the gas for 1 second because he's literally put everything into this dream.
Yeah.
And like when we get to the bridge of the song, he's willing himself to keep going because he knows that it's his passion. He's like, I have to, I must. And it's not just that I feel like I've put so much time, but it's like what he needs to do, what he wants to do so bad. Mm-hmm. And then like, I love the outro, the ending lines of this song, I feel like are some of the most iconic lines to this song. They really are talking about knowing you have the happiness in what you have, despite the worries creeping in and telling you that you have to live in the moment. And that's why I think goes back to the title of the song, The Most Beautiful Moment in Life, where he's like, even if I do have all of these fears, all of these worries about like, will I make it? Will all of this be worth it? He's still able to take a step back and say like, I am happy because I am living my dream.
Right. You know? I'm sitting here writing this song, producing this music, you know, thinking about lyrics for this song.
Right.
And it's absolutely worth it, even if I'm broke.
Yeah. Exactly.
Even if everyone around me is doubting me.
Right.
It's worth it.
Because it's what I want to do.
Yeah.
And what I know I should be doing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Fantastic intro to lead us into this album.
Oh, yeah.
Because this is what this album is all about.
Yeah.
It's their story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every idea starts with a problem. Warby Parker's was simple. Glasses are too expensive. So they set out to change that. By designing glasses in-house and selling directly to customers, they're able to offer prescription eyewear that's expertly crafted and unexpectedly affordable. Warby Parker glasses are made from premium materials like impact-resistant polycarbonate and custom acetate, and they start at just $95, including prescription lenses. Get glasses made from the good stuff. Stop by a Warby Parker store near you.
So I Need You is the next song on the album. It was written by P-Dawg, Hitman Bang, Rap Monster. I mean, the throwback.
Throwback.
This is when he was still Rap Monster. RM, Namjoon, Suga, J-Hope, and Brother Sa. And it was produced largely just by P-Dawg.
I mean, classic. What else
I could
need?
Never hate on P-Dawg.
Gave us I Need You.
I know.
Yeah.
So this song ended up being BTS's first music show win.
Iconic.
They had never won before, and this was the album that they were most desperate to succeed, and this is the first time they got their first win. It was on May 5th, 2015. A monumental moment. Definitely go watch the video of them finding out that they got their first win with I Need You.
And doing like the encore stage.
In the encore stage.
The encore stage is so cute because it's like them realizing, oh my God, is this our moment of like, we made it?
They're kind of laughing because it's just unreal.
They're
it's
like so incredulous. Unreal.
They didn't think it would ever happen in a million years. You can tell they didn't think it would ever happen.
Yeah.
Namjoon is just like jaw to the floor. Like you can see him mentally trying to process it and just can't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah. So in terms of the production of this song, honestly, going and listening and trying to write down this production and describe it, it's indescribable. It is so complex. It is a high production song. There's a lot of quality and intricacies. Thank you. And how the instrumental is all laid out. Like, You could have one good hook and have a very memorable song, but this song's production has at least 5 to 7 super notable production pieces in it that are so standout and memorable that when you hear it, you know the song.
Oh, yeah.
And you know it's I Need You.
Yeah, and they work together immaculately mm-hmm. from one part of the song to the next, from the different layering of the elements of the production. It just makes it such a great song to listen to. So enjoyable. Mm-hmm. Not, like, overly produced either. You know, it's not, like, too much going on. Mm-hmm. And it's not, like, too poppy catchy where it just kind of gets, like, you know, annoying yeah. after a while. It's just like you could listen to the song literally on repeat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a standalone song. There's just nothing like it.
Yeah. That's, I mean, it's true. Even in the last 10 years, there's nothing like it. Mm-hmm. I love the vocals. They're like ballad. Like, you guys know I love ballad BTS, and they are delivering that in the choruses. You can hear the pain and the desperation as they're, you know, saying, I need you, girl. Mm-hmm. And it's just so good. And if you go and watch a live stage from 9 years ago, in the, you know, 10 years ago, you will see it on their faces too. Mm-hmm. It's just so good.
Watch the Mnet performance. Oh my god, they are dying over it.
The shorts with the white shirts.
Yeah,
watch it. It's so good. And also the rap verses themselves convey their confusion and their disdain in their speed and in their tone and the overall delivery. And it's just this unmatched blend and balance between the rap and the vocal. I feel like this is also core BTS. The incredible, deep, raw, vulnerable, like, rap verses mm-hmm. paired with the beautiful choruses, post-choruses and hooks from the vocal line, mm-hmm. just like immaculately pieced together for such an incredible listening experience. Mm-hmm. Also, like, the bridge. Ugh, the bridge is so good. There's, like, these twinkle chimes, and it's kind of this, like, break in the intensity and desperation of the song where you get, like, a really lovey, hopeful vibe, and there's more layered vocals in there, and then we have, like, mm-hmm. the Jimin high note. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Living for it. It's just so good. Like I said, this is, like, BTS's core sound refined, you know, mm-hmm. or defined with the rap and the vocals, and also the instrumentals put in there for the dance breaks.
Yeah.
Like, Namjoon has talked about so much that K-pop is all the elements. It's the production, it's the lyrics, it's the visuals, and mm-hmm. those dance breaks are, like, you cannot listen to this song and not see the choreography in your yeah. mind. You
How
know?
Do you not, like, tenderly grab your own neck and, like, start body rolling, you know? Like,
yes.
That is it.
Yes.
This is exactly like what you were saying, Namjoon describing K-pop. This is it.
Yeah.
And I Need You, where it's everything wrapped into one.
Yeah. It's their storyline, well-defined. It's their choreo. It's the live performances. It's the symbolism. It's that great thing that BTS does with having an excellent concept mm-hmm. and just perfect execution yeah. on that overall concept.
Yeah.
And really, if you're wanting to hear more about pure music video coverage for I Need You or Dope, we do that all the way back. Almost over 200 episodes ago in episode 48. That's crazy to say.
Yeah, nearly 200 episodes ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But go back and listen to it. But, man, we just love this song so much. Mm-hmm. At this point, it makes us feel, like, nostalgic for, like, who they were back then. Mm-hmm. But also just, like, I mean, I still feel that pain and that desperation that they're, you know, yeah. conveying throughout the whole thing. Mm-hmm. So yeah. good.
I think about their whole story. This is when they really, really took off. I mean, there's moments where they took off globally, but this is when they knew that they could be successful. Mm-hmm. When they were at rock bottom, mm-hmm. and this was it. This was, like, everything we've done up to this point was absolutely worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Completely.
The hard work paying off here.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah. So in terms of the lyrics of this song conveys a real deep sense of emotion, longing, like this longing emotion, pining, vulnerability, where BTS feels like caught in this toxic relationship and they can't break free of it. Mm-hmm. They want someone desperately and they love them so, so much, but they're also constantly hurt by the relationship and how they're being treated. So it just reminds me of more of a youthful kind of, mm-hmm. Like, I love this person, but it's so toxic. Like,
yeah.
I'm down bad, honestly.
Totally. Yeah. And, like, you also, going back to what we were saying a little bit earlier of putting yourself in the place where they were back then, like, they were, I mean, super young, very much telling the stories of youth at the time and of their personal stories too. So like, you have to put yourself in the mindset of like, this is coming from a youthful aspect too. But yeah, I mean, they're conveying their sense of confusion and pain and desperation, as in the lyrics, they recognize that they're dependent on the other person, but also aware of the harm that this relationship is causing them. It just feels like a perfect description of young love. Like Bethany said, being down bad for somebody, being emotionally dependent on them, but also like, it can reflect the difficult feelings around getting out of any bad relationship, and just like how hard that can be when like you still feel some sort of way towards the person, but you also know maybe it's not the best thing.
Yeah The song really blends themes of youth, heartbreak, and self-awareness, resonating with anyone who's been torn between love and self-preservation. It's a very relatable song to anyone, really.
Yeah, I think so. Okay, let's go on to Hold Me Tight. And I could say this about... like, literally when I listen to this album, like, I love this song. Best song ever. One of my favorite BTS songs. But, like, this song is one of my favorite BTS songs ever. It's so good.
Underrated.
Can you say that? Is it really...
Okay, this is what I would describe as what people call an underrated song, but it's not actually underrated because everyone loves it.
Yeah, it's so revered. Yeah.
But it's not like a hit track.
Right.
Didn't get any stages.
No, it should have.
Yeah.
Let's see it on the tour, BTS. Yeah. Let's hear it.
Yeah.
I'll be bawling. So anyways, this song was written by Slow Rabbit, P-Dawg, V, Taeyang, RM, Suga, and J-Hope, and produced by Slow Rabbit. So, love it. This was one of the first songs that Taeyang wrote on and contributed to. And it is just, it's a gorgeous song. It starts with a gorgeous piano introducing us into the song, and this beautiful, airy vocalization from Jungkook, like those two things going together. And then it snaps us into this transition into a nice, deep bass drum with RM's nice, deep rapping too. And so it's just like this really great transition, this kind of like dichotomy balance between like this soft and like this strong. It's so good. There's like that, again, that heavy bass with like smooth R&B sounds and vocals. And then like the rapping and the vocals are so passionate and so comforting. They also give some sort of like pleading and pining, like, please love me, please don't let me go. And then what I particularly love about this song is their use of the vocal layering. Like, to me, this is also pure BTS, of just using their vocalists to the max, where they will have one vocal member singing the melody, but then there's harmonies, there's ad-libs, there's high notes floating in the background, and you know, at some points you can hear all four of them just going in, and it is just gorgeous. It's immaculate. It's everything.
Yes.
And I just love, I think it's so beautiful and masterful how they're utilizing each member's voices to get through this song.
Yes. And going back to what you were saying about Namjoon's verse, where he has that kind of like powerful vocal, that powerful rap that comes through. And I just feel that this is BTS again on display, their core, where the rap line is so powerful in their verses, but then you have the vocal line that just lifts them up even more, you know? Yeah. Like, I just feel like, oh, the blend of the two is just perfect.
Beautiful.
Yeah. This song really makes me think of Taeyong. Like, yes, he is a main writer on this song. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure he was, like, this was the first song that he wrote on.
Yeah, I think so.
So that was huge for him. But it also really makes me think of this Taekook fanfic that I read on this podcast. If you want to go,
first fanfic files.
It was the very first fanfic files. Okay, episode cringe. 27. Yeah,
for me,
a little bit.
Not for you. Yours. I still remember the story that you told.
Yeah. The summarization of this story that I told, honestly, is not. It's not too bad. If you love Taekook and you love HYYH Part One, go listen to it. It's episode 27. Truthfully, this story is so beautiful, but it gives like a fictionalized background story on this song with Taeyang and writing it. So definitely go check it out if you love the fanfic series.
Yeah.
Anyways, this song really, like, again, you were saying, Kayla, it's one of the best. I do think it's underrated. Like, it is that desperate feeling that you still get coming off of, like, I need you. But there's, like, warmness to it. There's, like, comfort in this song.
Yeah, like in I Need You, it's like they don't have that person, but in Hold Me Tight, it's like they do, and they're going to them for like comfort. Mm-hmm. And I love the melody in this song. I feel like it's so catchy. I feel like this whole album, like we can just sing it along with them, because mm-hmm. like it's just like when we became ARMY, they were so monumental in these songs, mm-hmm. and just like cannot stop listening to them. So when I go back and listen to this song, I feel like I'm singing every lyric, even though I don't speak Korean. I'm like right there
you
with
know
them.
The Korean.
You know the Korean in this song. Yeah. This song is so much, as far as the lyrics go, it's about struggling in loneliness and desire for connection with someone and going through a hard time and just, again, needing that comfort from the other person. And either they're like separated through like distance, or like maybe they've broken up, but they want to be reunited and they want to share in each other's life struggles and like support each other together. They still love this person so much. They think about them all the time. They've never forgotten them, no matter what, stating that they're, quote, still shining like a flower. And then they're asking to be held tight and to be trusted by them. Mm-hmm. Oh, kill me. It's so sweet.
My heart.
So beautiful.
Ripping apart. Oh. Yeah. There really is a lot of raw and honest pleas for intimacy, for connection and comfort. They say they can't live a day without this other person. They can't breathe without them, and that they're counting down the days to see them again. There's a lot of themes of self-doubt, regret, loneliness, and the emotional weight of seeking acceptance and understanding from this other person.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to pause and go listen to the song right now. Like, just
I do
talking
too.
About
I'm like,
it.
Why did we
so
not
much.
Listen to it before going into record?
Have to listen to
I
it.
I haven't
after.
Heard it since yesterday. Please. I need it again.
Ugh, it's so good. I love the song so much. It's still forever one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go on to skit expectation. Yeah. So BTS are no strangers to having a skit on their albums. That's a very hip-hop thing to do. Mm-hmm. This skit is really great. It's all the members kind of chit-chatting back and mm-hmm. forth about this album.
Yeah, and like you were saying, this is something that BTS have always done. I love that they ended up having continued skits throughout all of their album series here. So this is a little bit humorous, like back and forth between the members when you go in and listen. They discredit themselves in their other albums being not successful. So mm-hmm. they're like kind of talking back and forth, and they're like, our other albums, not so great, failures, flops, like like they're basically talking about how they have like not been
they're
succeeding.
They're like school love affair that totally failed.
Yeah.
Crazy.
But what was so interesting is J-Hope mentions that he finds a trend in their odd albums being more successful, which it makes me want to go back and like pull out their other odd number release albums and just like compare and reevaluate mm-hmm. and see if that stands true to like today.
Mm-hmm.
I could say they're all bangers, but like, which ones do I love more than others? You know, I wonder if there is something there. That it's just interesting to hear that J-Hope has a trend.
I feel like if we continue the trend past HYYH, then the other odd albums would be like Wings, Love Yourself, Tear.
Oh.
Freaking, what's after Answer? Is that B after that? Or Persona, Map the Soul Persona.
Persona, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it continues for a while maybe, because Tear was incredible, Wings is incredible. But mm-hmm. even before this album, they had like, what, Dark and Wild,
School Love
No
Affair.
More Dream. School Love Affair would have been an even number one,
I think.
Yeah, Too
Cool for School.
Yeah, Too Cool for School's first one. Yeah, so I thought that was interesting too, that he's like, well, maybe this one has a chance.
Right.
What I really latched onto in this skit was that all three Rap Line members have different expectations on the album's success. They all talk about together, like, if they have expectations, like Taeyong is like, even if you say you don't, it's impossible not to have them, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of the prompt of the skit.
Right.
It's the expectations.
And which goes along with the title. Duh. Yeah. But RM, he says that he has expectations and he cannot be satisfied unless they reach number one. And J-Hope claims that he doesn't have any expectations, but he has underlying hope, which is an expectation within itself.
Mm-hmm.
And Suga is somewhere in the middle, but he has a strong layer of doubt. We just thought it was so interesting with all of the context that we have now, in 2025 that RM said he won't be satisfied with the album unless they reach number one. It's just crazy how much he has changed, because the RM of today, I don't feel like would ever say something like that, or care about the success, the overall popularity of something that he put out if it was something they genuinely wanted to do and put out. But I think it's just so telling of how much weight he was putting on himself for that overall group success, and like how incredibly hard he was constantly working and pouring in, just like we were talking about Yoongi in the intro song, just giving his everything to make them successful and not willing to give up until they were there at that number one spot. And I feel like now he knows that he's reached that. They've been at number one for many of their albums. They've had massive global success, that he doesn't feel like he necessarily needs that anymore. But I really, really love to see that from him back then, and see that burning passion.
Yeah, that desire to be number one.
Yeah,
like you were saying, the RM of today is just so mind-boggling to think, like, oh, he would never say something like that today. Like, he can put out an album like Right Place, Wrong Person.
Yeah,
that is so wild and out there, you know, where he really doesn't give a shit like about the numbers.
I
he's
love
just
it.
Putting out music that he wants to put out.
I love the change that he's been able to have over these 10 years.
And he's talked a lot about it just makes me think of persona, intro persona, and how he's mentioned his role of being a leader and how much weight he put on, or took on with being the leader of BTS.
A lot of responsibility.
And I feel like we can have a general idea of what that might feel like for him, but we have no idea. I mean, for him to feel like, if we don't succeed in this album, I'm not going to be satisfied with it. That's how much pressure he put on himself, that I have to have this be successful. Otherwise, it's not even worth it.
Not even mild success, number one.
Yeah.
We need number one or I will not be satisfied.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. It, it just shows all of the hard work that they were putting
in. Right. Yeah. Jungkook is so hilarious in this, honestly, because baby.
Such baby boy.
He is asking if he can get a tax deduction because of his writing credits on the outro. And it's just hilarious because the member's like, why are you talking about tax deductions? And he's like, my dad brought it up. I don't know. And it's just this funny way to kind of like fizzle out of the skit.
I thought it was so funny because they're like, we have to make money off of it before you need any kind of tax write-off. Like,
Suga really is so full of doubt. He's like, there's no money. Like,
there's dreaming boy. Yeah, it's so funny. Yoongi's like, yeah, I've written on how many songs at this point? No tax write-offs for me.
Oh, man. So I already kind of said it, but like, core BTS and very standard to have a skit play as an interlude in an album. So love to see it. We love how this shows all of their personalities and their real thoughts and conversations at the time in regards to the album. Like, it's so refreshing.
Yeah. And think about, like, when they recorded this, they had no idea that this would be the album where they would finally take off and where they would start to gain popularity and success in Korea, and where people were actually giving them the time of day. Like, for them, even months later, to go back and listen to this skit and be like, wow, I can't believe what our expectations were and what this turned out to be. It's like they were speaking it into existence. They're manifesting it. So I think that's so cool.
All right. Well, let's go to the next album. The next song on this album, which is Dope. It was written by P-Dawg, Gwiss, Bang Mang, Hitman Bang, Rap Monster, Suga, J-Hope, and produced just by P-Dawg alone. Many of you listening probably already know, but for those who haven't heard, Dope is what got both of Kayla and I into BTS. So it's the very first song that we heard from the group, and it made us fall in love and wanted us to know more about the group. So this is the song that they had major commercial success in Korea, especially in comparison to their previous releases. So this song is so special to us. And I feel there's a lot of ARMYs out there that can say Dope was their introduction to not only BTS, but to K-pop. Like, Dope really had such immense success. I Need You is the hit track, but Dope is that quote-on, like, B-side, you know, second release.
not Dope promoted. Started playing in the clubs in Korea, and then right. people were like, oh, who's this? Who's oh, what's this song? Right. Everybody loved the song. They loved the hook of Dope mm-hmm. and saying, like, I'm dope. They really latched onto it, and this song made people go back and listen to the whole album, made mm-hmm. them discover I Need You, made them go back and discover all of BTS's previous yeah. discography. Like, that's the power of yeah. this song. That
if
is
you
so
want to
cool.
introduce anyone to BTS, this is the song, man. Like, you just show them one video of Dope, mm-hmm. and they're going to be asking, I just want to know who's who.
Right. Wait, what are their names?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So the chorus of this song has such a signature synthetic saxophone. It's so standout. That is pretty much the chorus that plays throughout and in the verses too. You hear it kind of play around in the verses, but the chorus, you hear BTS in between lines, and then you hear that saxophone.
Yeah, I think that's like one of the most iconic sounds of the song. Mm-hmm. The song is so hype. Like I said, it's like a club song. They played it in the clubs in Korea, like the dance clubs. It makes you want to dance, makes you want to run, work towards your goals, and get shit done. And it like really is a confidence booster. Mm-hmm. There's like the iconic bridge with Jimin and Jungkook. It's almost like a battle of the best vocalists when they're going back and forth and both showing off their yeah. ability to sing the high notes.
Bangtan style.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Yeah. It's just, it's iconic. It's amazing. It's another one of those songs like I Need You where you can see the choreography mm-hmm. in your mind when you're yeah. listening to this song.
Yeah.
Impossible not to.
This really brings so much energy to the album. Mm-hmm. You know, we've had so much seriousness up to this point. We have that skit and then boom, they hit you with this high energy song.
Right.
That makes you just feel unstoppable.
Yeah. We did have a lot of seriousness, a lot of like, you know, tough emotions yeah. and, you know, very raw and vulnerable. And now we're like, the skit kind of broke it up a little bit. Little interlude, and now we're hype. Yeah. We're getting it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're letting that confidence
out. My hard work
out.
Is going to pay off.
That's
you know?
Exactly right.
I'm not going to talk about my fears and doubts anymore. Like, let's go.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm putting Hell in the yeah. work. So in this song, this is an upbeat club track that celebrates BTS's drive for success, their hard work, determination, and ambition to keep grinding despite the many challenges that they face. The lyrics highlight their intense drive to stand out in a music industry that really doesn't care about them. They address the pressure of being constantly judged and misunderstood, but instead of letting it discourage them, they work harder towards their goals, let their passions ignite, and embrace their unique qualities.
Absolutely love it. Mm-hmm. Like, this is, those qualities are why we love BTS so much. Mm-hmm. In this song, like I said, it's confidence building when you listen to it, and the lyrics have tons of themes of self-confidence, resilience, and the endless pursuit of success. They talk about the hours that they spend in the studio, in the dance room, while their counterparts and their competitors are out clubbing. Mm-hmm. They also repeat the line, dope, 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 which emphasizes their pride in themselves and proving their worth. And then they also challenge societal expectations and norms and how the media can condemn them and youth without really giving them a chance, which I feel like is, again, one of BTS's core messages, mm-hmm. is lifting and raising up the voices of youth and challenging societal norms and expectations. And they, I mean, they did it even in their earliest albums, but I love that it's coming back here too as well.
Yeah, and also kind of showing what's going to come with part two.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Oh my god. And
because like, Bapse
with Bapse yeah. right. I mean, Bapse really gets into it. It's one, that's one of their like most critical songs besides maybe like No, you know, from right. their early days.
No.
When I think of like early societal challenging tracks, it's No and it's Bapse. Yeah. But ultimately this song really celebrates their hard work paying off, and it's almost like before they even knew how successful and monumental this album would be, it's like somehow deep down they knew with this song.
They had to know. I feel like they had to know.
Yeah, that they were on the precipice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Maybe so.
I mean, they always knew they had something special, but with HYYH, they were like, this is it.
Yeah.
I feel it in my gut. There was a gut instinct that they knew this was it.
Yeah. I mean, I want to say
they knew they had it all along.
Yeah.
But they just felt that this was the album that was going to launch them into the rest of their career.
And maybe it's because this is one of the albums where the rap line specifically is the most narrative and the most vulnerable, mm-hmm. and like really authentically about them. Mm-hmm. Maybe this is like the music that they were wanting to create the whole time, yeah. you know? And they're, you know, they finally kind of brought it all together, all yeah. of their concepts of what they wanted to do.
Instead of trying to be like edgy and hard and mm-hmm. fitting that hip hop stereotype, like K-pop, right. hard ass, like they went in and said, hey, we're just going to be us. Completely authentic and real.
Yeah. It's like they finally found their sound here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah. Oh, chills.
Yes.
So snaps. Fucking good.
Yes.
Okay. Let's go ahead and dive into the next song on the album, Boys With Fun. So this was written by Suga, P-Dawg, Hitman Bang, RM, J-Hope, Jin, Jimin, and V. So the only person not with writing credits on this song is baby Jungkook.
Oh, no.
But I love seeing all of the members on here, especially Jin. Jin mm-hmm. comes up a couple of times on this album, and we don't often see him credited with lyrics.
Yeah, especially this early on.
Yeah. It was produced by Suga and P-Dawg, and this has an extremely high-energy, kind of chaotic, top-tier Bangtan playfulness and charisma all throughout the production of the song. Mm-hmm. This song, along with Dope, like Bethany said, breaks up the more serious tones and themes of the album, but also still has that cohesive sound and fits with the album overall. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of playing around with like the ad-libs and delivery of lines and even like silly dialogue inserted between the rap verses. And the intro to the song is so iconic in how they chant their way into the song saying, "We're here, the boys with fun." Mm-hmm. I mean, I also, every time I think about this song, I think about a stage performance in concert. So hype, so incredible.
Yeah.
And like Taeyang was having a hell of a fun time, like exaggerating his deep voice during his parts here too. Just really playing around with
it. Oh yeah. It's so playful. I mean, Boys With Fun, it's just, you want to really deliver that same high energy back with them. There's lots of like these grand brass sounds and like kick drums that keep the beat going so strong. It's perfect to pull you out of that seriousness, or even if you're like shy, pull you out of some shyness and just act silly and dance along with them. They really encourage you to just, ooh, let loose. Like, let's come, let's have fun. We are the boys with fun. Even though we're being so serious with all of our lyrics and so vulnerable with our fears, and expressing that to you, like, after all, even despite all of that, we are fun. Like, come join us.
Yeah.
That's how it feels.
Because it's the most beautiful moment in life. And even if we're all stressed and worried about if this will all pay off and pan out and work out in our favor and all of our hard work.
We're still so young.
We're still so young. We're still going to have fun with it.
Yeah.
We still have time to break free and be carefree and playful and enjoy the moment that we're in.
Yeah.
And
I feel like it's the journey.
That's the journey
that is more valuable than the win at the end.
Right. Right. Yeah. And this song is that epitome of, we're on this beautiful journey together.
Yeah. Even if we don't get first place, I'm so happy we're here.
Right. Totally. So the lyrics of the song, although this song is like a little bit on the longer side with lyrics, they're not too deep in what's going on, just because it is a super fun song. This song has super carefree lyrics that share BTS having fun with each other. The lyrics mention staying out all night until the moon sets, specifically. I love that they said that. Mm-hmm. And just like letting loose with the music. Really, like, this song is one of those like let the music take you over type of vibes. It's a full release of oneself through dancing and through feeling the music take over. And the lyrics are also, like I said, they're relatively playful, just like we hear with, you know, their vocal delivery, with just back and forth comments between the members and laughter shared throughout the song. But like we were saying, this song, the lyrics serve as a reminder to not take life too seriously, telling us to not care what other people think, just let loose and be your true authentic self, and just have fun with them. They're the boys with fun. Come along with us.
Yeah, such a blessing to get stages too, and performances of this song, because they really are so fun. You just see the pure charisma of BTS.
They always have a great time performing this song.
I think that's what makes HYYH Part 1 also so stand out from other albums, and why people fall in love with them, is because you just see their personalities and their interactions with each other, and you're just like, man, I want a friendship like that. Like, I want to be with them doing all that. Like, how fun.
It's everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love it so much.
Right. So the next song on the album is Converse High. It was written by P-Dawg, Slow Rabbit, RM, Suga, and J-Hope, produced by P-Dawg and Slow Rabbit. So this song has a more groovy and kind of a lovey-dovey vibe. It has a soft and sweetness to it too. When the vocalists layer their voices, it's more tender in how they deliver their verses. Very soft, and just, you know, Like, they just feel like they're caring on you. They love you.
Yeah.
The guitar sets this more groovy sound, especially at the start of the song. And there's these remaining synths and bass that add a lot more of that lovey-dovey sound that I was talking about, especially when they're, like, snapping. And they're like, ooh, you know, and they're snapping. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really. The vocalists are a huge highlight of Converse High.
I think so, too. This song is, when you're listening through the album.
Oh, no, my baby. Sorry, guys.
Poor Millie girl.
Corey's with her.
This song is like, it kind of takes you down a notch in tempo from the hype of Boys With Fun and Dope previous. But, we do need to kind of calm the album down at this point, because the next song, you know, this is a good transition between the two.
Yeah.
And so it still has like that poppy vibe. I would say this is like the most poppy on the album.
I would say it's poppy too, yeah.
But then the tempo slows a little bit. The lyrics of this song, Converse High, is really all about embracing one's individuality and being able to express yourself, much like a pair of Converse can enable you to do, because Converse comes in all different colors and patterns and styles. And like, each person who owns a pair of Converse, they could have like a signature pair, mm-hmm. or like that one that is like themselves. And then really, like Bethany said, really lovey-dovey, beautiful vocal throughout the choruses, but the rap verses stand out throughout the lovey-dovey, with delivering like these different metaphors about what the Converse are to them.
RM approaches the Converse as a metaphor for liking the simple things in life, as opposed to the glitz of fashion and designer fashion, while J-Hope uses them as a metaphor for being attracted to individualism and the different colors and the way you can express yourself through Converse. Suga takes a completely different approach, basically saying he hates Converse because they're too difficult to take off you. And that he thinks you'd look better with some Jordans on,
right?
Damn.
Yeah, really. I kind of love, like, we go like RM, where he's like very, he's like, I like the simple things. I like you how you are, you know, just jeans and a t-shirt.
Yeah.
J-Hope is like, well, I love how you're such an individual. At the end, J-Hope is like, I might steal you from RM though.
Yeah.
Like, just don't tell him.
Yeah. But express yourself.
Express yourself. And Yoongi just goes like full on sexual. Like, I can't take these off of you fast enough, so don't wear them around me, you know? Yeah.
Damn.
This is funny.
Min Yoongi.
I know, right? And I feel like you kind of wouldn't expect that from like the lovey-dovey sound of this song too.
No, yeah, you wouldn't.
But love it. It's still a great song.
This song gets stuck in your head. We were singing it all before we started to go into record.
Yeah.
We're just like, Converse High, I really mean Converse High.
You're like,
yeah.
Why of all songs is Converse High? Yeah, so good. Okay, let's talk about Moving On. So Moving On was written by P-Dawg, RM, Suga, and J-Hope, and produced by P-Dawg. And this song really goes back to more of their original hip-hop influences. This song is very heavily hip-hop in that genre. The song is nostalgic in nature, and the classic hip-hop beat paints a picture of their past, the sampling, the classic rap, and the classic hip-hop beat. The rap verses are packed with feelings of reflection and nostalgia, while each of the vocalists have their own individual choruses, which I think is so stand out. Mm-hmm. Normally with a chorus, like two at least vocalists will kind of trade off lines back and forth, mm-hmm. but this time the chorus happens four times and each vocalist gets their own chorus, which I think is really important for the overall theme and delivery of the song.
Incredibly unique.
Yeah.
You don't see that in any other song.
No, I don't think any other BTS song has that format. Mm-hmm.
It's as if the vocal line gets their own verse.
Yeah. Yes.
Like their own chorus just for themselves.
Totally.
Yeah. The vocalists, their parts emit emotions of pure sentiment. It feels like they are saying the sweetest of goodbyes, which they are. There's so much love and care and sincerity leaking from their voices. You can tell that in Moving On, they're really expressing so much of that reflection of what they've gone through, what they've been through, but that they're on to better things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can hear that in the delivery. And then when you get into these lyrics, you can see that they're really telling their story here, and they're super vulnerable and raw. Like, I really encourage ARMY to go back and read these lyrics line by line, because like we were saying earlier, they really are narrative in this, and you can really put yourself in their place, in their shoes of what they were going through, these specific memories and like standout moments to them from their past and from like this buildup of success that they've had.
It's so detailed of exact moments, exact places, exact conversations that no one can write about this except for BTS themselves.
Right. And I just feel like it's this beautiful vignette into who they really are, their personality, their authenticity, their inner thoughts, really, mm-hmm. that like, I don't feel like you get that from a lot of artists very often. Mm-hmm. And so it's really unique. This is definitely a song that will give you chills as you go through and read the lyrics because of their authenticity and how raw they are here.
Yeah.
They wrote this song as they were in the process of moving out of their first dorm. Not only was it a place where they struggled for many years, but they also bonded there. They shared so many memories, and the move was deeply symbolic of their success and their hope that they're finally moving up in the world of K-pop and in, you know, their careers, that they were hopefully breaking into the big scene now. And through the verses, the members reflect on the times they've shared, and they share their pride also in how much they've worked so far and how hard they've worked. So it is really, really a beautiful reflection of their time together and incredible symbolism for what they've been through and what they're going to go on to.
Yeah.
And it's like, they didn't even know what they were going to move on to. Mm-hmm. But yet they were, you know,
Anticipating.
Yeah.
They have that expectation.
Yeah. Expectations.
Yeah. Yeah. Ugh. Man, this is when Yoongi, like, this is when you hear him talk about, like, his mom's heart attack. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just how, when we say raw and vulnerable, we're talking about, like, real life shit. Hila was saying, go and read the lyrics. Truthfully worthwhile. They acknowledge the pain that change can bring, but knowing that it's necessary to continue to grow. At its core, it's discussing the challenge of overcoming attachments, whether it's a past relationship, dreams, or failures. There are so many themes of healing, self-discovery, and the courage to continue to let yourself grow through the change and moving on.
Yeah. I think it's really highlighting the importance of change, mm-hmm. the importance of how much courage that takes and acknowledging the pain of that change too, but how important it is for you to be able to do that. And like,
it's not easy, but it's necessary.
But it's necessary. And I love how hard this song hits for me, like from my 2024 going into mm-hmm. 2025. Like, this is just like BTS's music is everlasting. Right. And like, when I was showing Jeremy this album, I was telling him like about this song and about the lyrics and how much it means to me, like when you experience that change or when you're thinking about making a big change in your life and how important that is to do. And mm-hmm. I just think that it is so cool that 10 years later, the song can have the same or even greater impact when you listen to it.
Right.
Yeah.
It does.
Especially knowing where they've gone since then.
Yeah.
And getting ready to celebrate.
You don't even know, like, when this album came out, imagine a fan, an army of 2015, 2016 listening to this album, and they don't even know what is ahead for BTS.
That they'd be globally successful.
Yeah.
You know, I just, like, the reason why I want a re-recording of this album so bad is because I can imagine a rewriting of RM's first verse to Yoongi, where he's like, "Ayo, Suga," and talking about something 3 years ago. Can you imagine he's talking about writing this song 10 years ago? Mm-mm. Like, I just, I can imagine it would be so incredible. And then they perform in a concert and I'd just be sobbing. Like,
done.
You know?
Done for.
I think that would be so impactful and so incredible. And just to think about how far they've come since writing something like this that was already monumental for them. Yeah.
I think about the emotions that they would feel re-recording it.
Oh, yeah.
Singing these lyrics that they wrote back in 2015
mm-hmm.
with where they are today.
I bet Jungkook goes back and listens to this album and cries.
Yeah.
He seems like that type, you know, like, just, you know,
he might laugh at himself with the skit.
I think so.
Cause he could see why his members were like, why are you talking about that? He's like, my dad brought it up.
Right. But then he'd get to moving on and he'd be like crying and he'd go get a hug from Taeyang. Oh, like,
Speaking of Jungkook, I'm sure he would cry so much with a re-recording of outro Love Is Not Over.
Oh, you know he would.
Yeah, because this song was written by Jungkook, Slow Rabbit, P-Dog, and Jen, produced by Jungkook and Slow Rabbit. Mm. So Jungkook is written all over this song. This is the very first song that Jungkook ever wrote on and produced on. So monumental moment for him too. But oh man, it just shows how involved every member was in the creation of this album. Mm-hmm. So in terms of the production and the vibe of the song, I really feel that this song is sexy. Mm-hmm. It's hard saying that because the song has moments of sadness. It has moments where it's very beautiful. It has this R&B feel, which I think contributes to that sexiness. Mm-hmm. But there is so much jam-packed into how this song makes you feel.
Yeah.
Like you feel that continued desperation. You feel a sense of hope, you know, for the future. Like, love is not over, but mm-hmm. I'm also broken inside.
Yes, completely. I mean, I'm on board with the sexiness because it does have that R&B kind of rhythm to it and beat. And then, like, Jungkook even starting us off with the song with his little riff, you know? Mm-hmm. So sexy, so beautiful. And it just...
It's giving my time.
Yeah. Oh my God, yeah. Yes. It just, like, pulls you in from the beginning. And this, I feel like this song pairs so well with like Hold Me Tight mm-hmm. and wraps us back into like the earlier first half of the album. So it's just so perfect being the outro. You know, like Converse High did a great job of like slowing us down into moving on, which is like a very reflective song. Mm-hmm. And then this song takes us back into those overall themes of like love and pining and desperation,
yes.
but also like giving that big feeling of hope. That hope really comes through with this song, I feel. Like Bethany said, the song stands out because Jungkook had the writing credits on it, but like the brief lyrics express so much emotional depth, that longing, the pain of separation, the regret, and then where the hope comes through is the hope of reconciliation. Mm-hmm. Like in the lyrics, you know, they allude that there's been some distance or some passage of time between these two, but the love spoken about is strong enough that all the members are saying, you know, it's not over. Love is not over.
Yeah.
And they long for that reconnection.
Right. It's that repetition of love is not over serves as a poignant reminder that love has many forms and is enduring. Although circumstances may change, that love is enduring. It's a bittersweet song in which the feelings of love and loss and hope all coexist. It's a gorgeous song. I love that in the repackaged album, we get a full-length extended
it's
version.
It's amazing.
Yes, it's not just
BTS
an outro.
Songs ever.
It's too good to be an outro.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, I could say that about all of these songs, but yeah, this is like, especially the full length edition,
right.
Incredible, immaculate song on the repackage. Mm-hmm. I just think that this song, I love what you said about like love being enduring because mm-hmm. it's like, again, this album, the most beautiful moment in life. And like, even though you may go through hardship and tough times, love takes many forms and there is always love around you and within you. And I love that that's like the outro message of this album.
Yeah.
I think that's so beautiful.
Yeah.
So
it's a great way to like look towards the future after going through that like toxicity of I need mm-hmm. you and feeling so desperate, like I can't go on without you.
Right.
But despite that, like, even if this love doesn't work out, like love is not over, I can still endure. I can still find that love that's true to me.
It will be. Yeah, totally. I really want to kind of wrap up our thoughts on this album. I want to talk about the overall meaning of the title of the album and what it means to us. We've talked a lot about the context of where BTS were at the time of creating this album and the album title of The Most Beautiful Moment in Life, part one. You know, they were planning on that part two afterwards, but I don't know what they were thinking when they titled this album, you know? Mm-hmm. They had been through so much hardship and strife that, you know, facing disbandment and the end of their dreams as they know it because of running out of funds and not being popular enough, they couldn't have known for sure that success would come from this album.
Mm-hmm.
Yet they boldly titled that this is their most beautiful moment in life.
Yeah.
And maybe it was, if this is the last one, this is the most beautiful thing,
yeah.
you know?
Which contradicts what Namjoon said, where he's like, I can't be part of this album unless we get that number one.
Right.
But you have to think that maybe in that skit, he was just really caught up in the moment. Mm-hmm. And perhaps when they made the title of the album, they could say with confidence, even if we don't win, this is the most beautiful moment.
All of these moments that we've shared over the past, you know, 3 years of making music together have been the most beautiful moments in life. And the fact that we've gotten to live our dreams, even if they are short-lived, ultimately,
mm-hmm.
we are so grateful. That's what it feels like mm-hmm. when they're naming this song. But now, 10 years later, you know, it like it really feels like it's the journey to success and the living in the present that made all those moments so beautiful. And I love that we can reflect back and say like, wow, those were the most beautiful moments in life. And it's like, I feel like this album and the album series, though part one and part two in the repackage, stand as one of their greatest of all times because of the reminder that your whole life is beautiful and worthwhile. Mm-hmm. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you've been through, you can always and should always try to take a step back into that present moment and appreciate the beauty of being where you are. Mm-hmm. And that's totally what they were doing, even faced with, if this isn't popular, it might be the end of BTS as we know it. They still had the boldness to say, this is the most beautiful moment in life.
Yeah.
And now as ARMY, 10 years later, we can look back at all of their history and all of their success that they've had and be reminded of these beautiful formative moments for them. And then all of the amazing, beautiful, special, intimate moments that we've shared with them over the last 12 years mm-hmm. now. How special and how incredible yeah. that we get to share in this together.
Right. Wow, Kayla.
Ugh.
I mean, everything you just said, that's exactly it. The most beautiful moment in life. It's all about the journey, mm-hmm. whether or not we make it. The win is the cherry on top.
Mm-hmm.
But the best part is everything we've done up to this point.
Yeah.
They are saying with such pride that, hey, this is the most beautiful moment in life. Even if we don't win, I wouldn't change a thing. I love writing and producing and singing and rapping and performing and being with my bandmates and knowing that, yeah, like I wouldn't want to be doing anything else.
Yeah.
No win is worthwhile, you know, unless I'm with all of you
these
doing
people.
What I love.
Yeah. And with ARMY.
And with ARMY.
Yeah. I'm so emotional.
I am too.
I love this album so much. I love that it's the 10-year anniversary of HYYH. I am so excited that we got to kick off the year talking about
Honestly,
this.
Honestly, no more iconic way to start our 2025 Standing BTS podcast series.
With episode 250.
Then doing a review of HYYH part one. Are you kidding
Fuck yeah.
me? Yeah.
Incredible. We cannot express enough reverence for this album.
Mm-hmm.
You know, next episode, we will come back with HYYH part two.
Yeah.
How could we not? We really hope that you all enjoyed this album review and our thoughts and reflecting on this iconic album coming up on its 10-year anniversary.
Let's
I think in
gear
April
up for that major project that BTS are going to do when they come
right.
back together.
Let's
like,
be ready.
Let's get excited.
Let's do it. We really want to say a special thanks to our supporters on Patreon, especially the VIPs, Eileen, Michelle, Holly, Meg, Rachel, Robin, and Deja. Thank you guys so much for your support. And it was so wonderful to see so many of you guys at the iconic hangout at the end of 2024, talking about all of your predictions for this year as well. We got to talk a lot about HYYH as well. So that was so much fun.
You guys are so inspiring to me.
Literally.
Honestly. I love talking to all of you. It really gives me such motivation and such just love of being a part of this fandom.
Yeah, same. If you enjoyed this episode, please let us know. Look for our posts on Instagram, on Twitter, and get in our comments and, mm-hmm. you know, talk back and forth with the other iconics. And of course, you can find links for all of the things in the description.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for standing BTS.